You are now entering Zone 4. Please be seated and prepare to experience the nerd aristocracy. Any offences encountered by today's broadcast will not be the responsibility of the Mars Civex Consolidated Drilling Corporation or its subsidiaries.
Welcome to the Nerd Aristocracy, the podcast for all things nerd. Available worldwide at nerdaristocracy.com. The leaders of the nerd proletariat, your esteemed hosts, Jonathan Bell and Ryan Reinecke.
Greetings, proletariat. Jonathan Bell alongside Ryan Reinecke for this, the 53rd episode of the Nerd Aristocracy podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We are here. We are straight. Get used to it.
Move along. Nothing to see here.
That's about all I have to say about that. So what's up, Ryan? How are you?
Good, man. Until a couple of minutes ago, you told me the Pirate Bay was down.
I did tell you that. One of many technical issues that the aristocracy has had over the course of the last 2 weeks.
Been a lot of tech heartbreak.
More on the Pirate Bay a little later, but I suffered, as you know, the great computer debacle of 2012. This past week, it has put me behind on work. It has put me behind on the podcast. It has put me behind on the viewing of pornographic images.
Most unforgivable of all.
Actually, not really. I don't use my work computer for that. But anyway, yes. So last Tuesday night, I am doing my late night internet surfing while I'm watching The Family Guy on the television. Surfing around, doing some chatting, typical internet BS. Go to reach for my large cup of strawberry soda.
Knee high?
No. Faygo, I believe.
Oh, classic.
I grasp it. I pull it towards me over said computer. Mm. I don't know what happens, but all I know is it ends up horizontal over the top of my laptop, and it flows like the rivers of the Nile and proceeds to engulf my entire laptop keyboard in the greatness that once was a nice ice-cold glass of strawberry soda. Mm. Of course, my computer immediately dies. I see it in super slow-mo. You know that whenever something horrendous happens, in real time, it goes by like that. It normally lasts about half a second when something momentous, shocking, and noteworthy happens. But in your mind, your mind's eye sees it as a frame-by-frame.
Like, Matrix bullet time.
Yes. It was horror. Just like, ooh! And computer died. I, of course, unplug it, grab it, run it into the kitchen, dump it over my sink, grab a rag, start wiping out, and there was just no saving it.
No. You probably instantaneously, through several short circuits in your system, the liquid conducting the electric current that is normally guided by circuitry was now allowed just to free roam all over the place and just fucking fried its brains.
Yeah, it was not good. So, did all every trick in the book, opened the case, drained it, dried it, blew air in it, left it upside down with the case open. Nothing could work, so then I went on a wild goose chase to save the hard drive, got the hard drive out, went and got the case for the hard drive. Mm-hmm. One that was given to me did not fit. It was apparently for a desktop, so I went to get the smaller version made for laptop hard drives. Of course, my laptop is like 7 years old, so the hard drive on it is thicker than the standard hard drive laptop hard drive being manufactured now, so it didn't fit snugly in the case, so I had to jerry-rig that with some regular Scotch tape.
Yeah, looks good.
Yeah, looks great. But long story, mildly long, was able to save most of the files off the hard drive, but was not able to access my old programs, which sent me on a wild goose chase for Microsoft Office so I could get Outlook. A peer was friendly enough to share that with me. But still looking, still trying to get Photoshop for the PC because I was able, it was given to me by a peer, but apparently the serial number that the peer had was not, was no longer good. So I'm still in need of Photoshop.
You should ask your peer for to give you a comment thread attached to that peer file that usually tells you that or where you can get something that will make a serial unnecessary.
I think what's going to happen is after we record this podcast, I'm going to request 3 minutes of your time. Because sure. I am new to the...
Oh, I'm Ryan Reinecke, everybody, by the way. Jonathan did introduce me.
I did introduce you.
You didn't?
I did.
Did you?
Yes.
All right, well, I'm still
Ryan Reinecke. It's Jonathan Bell alongside Ryan Reinecke.
Oh, you always say that, right?
Yeah. What kind of introduction were you hoping for, other than your name?
Ta-da?
I can give you a rim shot.
That would be my
shot, S-H-O-T. Anyway, so yeah, so hopefully I'll be able to acquire Photoshop because I need it like yesterday for my occupational situations.
Has this put into your head the importance of a backup solution? Because thank God you were able to save your hard drive with all your information on it. I mean, your fucking computer is kaput, but you were kind of in the threshold of getting a new computer anyway. This is just God saying, fuck you, Jay Bell, go ahead and buy a new machine.
Yes.
And he gave you your information. So that's the most important thing. I mean, your pictures, your documents, shit like that, that you can't find from up here. It's just a pain in the ballsack to get all the software again. Correct. I've been there so many times. To where you should really look into a backup solution. As I understand, since you have Windows 7 now, is that correct?
I do.
There is a very handy and useful built-in backup feature on it that will allow you to back up concisely and predictably and reliably on a set schedule, if I'm not mistaken. And what I recommended is once you were done with this hard drive.
Yes.
How big is the hard drive you have?
Like 650 gig. Think.
Okay. You might need to scrape together some coin and get a terabyte hard drive.
Right.
Fuck that thing, because that's probably only like 200.
Yes.
And have that as your destination backup drive. And we'll talk about this off show because it can get a little long-winded.
How much is a terabyte running? Let's check Amazon.com since we are the podcast is affiliated with Amazon.com.
If you spend more than $120, you're wasting your money.
Okay, well, I could probably...
In fact, you have the enclosure that your papa gave you, right? And that is for an external hard drive, yes?
I don't know, but I'd rather give it back to him so I'm not...
Beholden?
Beholden, as one might say.
He already gave you his seed. You'll always be beholden.
That is so disturbing.
But if you go that route, you can use the enclosure you have. I know from looking at it for 2 seconds that it would fit just a bare drive. And you can get just a bare drive, 1 terabyte, for about $80. Save yourself $40. Or give it pop back for your pride, spend $120. Either way, it's small price to pay for, you know, peace of mind. And that way you'll back up your whole mamba jamba on that thing once a week.
Yeah, it looks like Western Digital has a 1 terabyte USB hard drive external on Amazon.com for $121.56.
There you go.
So
Western Digital, it's a good name.
Might be
been doing the drives for a while.
Might be doable.
Yeah, I got something on my Mac that makes it very easy. It's called Time Machine. Okay. And you designate an external hard drive, and it will, and you tell it, hey, back up all this shit. You know, don't bother backing up the operating system because that's going to be on a new computer. You can also have it back up programs and applications too. And then once every hour, it'll write the new changes to that external hard drive as long as it's connected. If you don't have it connected all the time, you can just have it run manually once a week and just get into a practice of plugging it up before you go to bed or something, right. And then it will update all your changes. And that has saved my wife's computer. I had to replace her hard drive. I had a hard drive failure where it couldn't boot up. It couldn't read the operating system. So we pulled it all off of her backup. Couldn't even like look at her data like you could with yours. So she was actually much worse off. But thankfully, we had that backup, and literally within half an hour of me getting back with the hard drive, she was up and running.
Yes. I did want to thank you, although it was your support was mainly useless. It was nice to have someone begrudgingly mm-hmm. assist me at mm-hmm. 10 o'clock at night on a weeknight. Mm-hmm. So. Thank you for your begrudging lack of assistance.
You're welcome.
At 10 o'clock on a weeknight.
I saw myself as kind of a blackboard right. that you were just kind of drawing out what you already knew to do on.
Yes.
But it was important to have that out in front of you so you could see the path and do it.
Yes. Mainly I wanted someone there of the geek realm just in case shit did not go as my right, play-by-play.
Right. Or to say, no, don't do that.
Right.
Right.
Because while things did go according to how logistically I thought they were going to go, if I had to deviate at any point from that plan of action, mm-hmm. I would not know what to audible to. So,
understood.
I'm
glad I could, you know,
Not be of assistance,
but at the same time symbolize that buoy in uncertain seas.
Yes.
While the buoy was electrocuting you.
That's true.
Like, let go.
But I did get a new computer, stuck with the Toshiba.
Totally didn't take my advice.
I did not mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. for a couple of reasons, mainly price being the main point. And I did not want to get more. I did not want to get a refurbished computer.
Okay.
So, but my old Toshiba lasted me 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just like 7 years, five states, and God knows how many road miles when I was touring. So, there you go. I decided to give them some more of my business.
Well, I do trust in brand loyalty.
Yes.
As I am stuck with my Macs because they have served me so well. And it's not really issues like pouring an entire bottle of orange black person drink on my computer.
Right.
But just having the normal bullshit that comes up on a Windows PC. However, now that you're rocking Windows 7, you'll probably see less of that once you settle in and you turn off all the automatic updates. Oh, did you really mean to click this link? Do you really want to go to this website? Kind of BS that comes up. Have you been seeing that happen? Like where it's trying to protect you all the time?
Yes, I am. One of the things I have on my list is disinstalling Norton antivirus because I'm pleased with AVG and Malwarebytes. But you would be surprised when you don't visit dirty websites how few viruses your computer is susceptible to.
Really?
Yes.
Even like Yahoo?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, it's got, you know, dirty stuff on it. I mean, I've always associated with Yahoo with insecurity.
I don't do a lot of stuff on Yahoo. Google is my search engine. If I do go to Yahoo, it's normally for news, so I'm not downloading I'm not downloading anything other than standard HTML from Yahoo, so I haven't had any problems. But you mentioned you called me out on my love of the typically African American beverage mm-hmm. of soda. What would you consider like a white person drink?
A white person?
Yes. What is a stereotypical cracker?
A white person pop would have to be like a 7-Up. or something like that.
What about root beer? Because I don't, I've got a million black friends, slept over at a bunch of black friends' houses when I was a kid. I always...
if you take Barks out of the equation, because Barks, I mean, that's a very southern traditional thing, and it's good no matter what, and it kind of stands out among root beers as being the one that has bite.
That's true, but in my black friends' houses, I never really see root beer. I never really did see root beer.
You wouldn't see like an A1 or a mug root beer. I don't know about the energy drinks either. I don't know if the brothers do the energy drinks.
Yeah, no.
Because
no.
They did have pimp juice.
Only white people are stupid enough to pay $4 for an energy drink. Myself included, because last week when I was going through the great computer debacle of 2012, typically I don't drink energy drinks, but each night I was getting about an hour and a half of sleep going through a 3 or 4 day span of hell dealing with this situation. So I drank Red Bulls last week pretty consistently for the first time in forever. So yeah, only white people like myself would be stupid enough to pay $4 for some caffeine and some water.
Yeah, black people got crack.
Yeah.
And overpriced coffee too. Black person's not gonna buy overpriced coffee.
No, that's true.
Unless it's like some sophisticated black chick who's just gonna get like a cream latte or something like that.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
I just consider you you deemed yourself the racial beverage expert. So.
Yeah, I like to profile my food.
Okay.
What's
a good Hispanic beverage? They like those weird fruits, like watermelon.
They'll drink that coconut milk shit, dude.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's like watery coconut milk and like cans that rust on the inside and stuff. I mean, you can find them at select Vietnamese convenience stores in New Orleans.
Yeah, when I lived in L.A., I went with a friend of the show, Jesse, to some Latin supermarkets occasionally. And those places were fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
Because you would go down the beverage aisle and they would have sodas, but it would be like, you know, weird fruit flavors, like coconut fruit soda or...
Papaya.
It's not so bad, or, actually. You know, mango fruit soda, and it's like, if it's not lemon and lime, I'm really not, or orange or grape, I'm really not.
It's not in my comfort zone.
It's not familiar.
One Latin beverage that I do enjoy is Coca-Cola from the Latin countries, because that's the only Coca-Cola
made
you can
with
find.
Real sugar.
Fucking real cane sugar.
Yeah, I buy it occasionally at Walmart in the glass bottles. They sell it individually.
Mm-hmm. They know what's going on.
Yeah, no,
another drink I like of theirs is, I forget the brand of it, but it's a carbonated water, and I'm quite fond of it.
Okay.
You can get that at your local Walmart or Big Lots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Big Lots has some weird stuff too.
They do. They have like this cool international thing going for it. Yeah. But then you wonder how old it is, and like why is it in Big Lots?
Yeah, it's like the what's that?
It's like a pound of French cheese.
What's that
for
place?
$4?
Not Whole Foods, but that. That place in New Orleans on Clearview.
Yeah, where they have all the wine.
Yeah.
And cheese.
Yeah, what's the name of that place?
Dunno.
Okay.
I could drive by and show it to you.
I burnt that cell. Me too. It's over there by Best Buy in Metairie, in that general. No, not by Best Buy.
Oh.
By
you mean that World Market?
By Jefferson,
by the Marshalls and shit.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, World Market.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They used to have something like that in the Edgewater Mall. Like something imports or something like that. And they'd have all these weird Asian knickknacks and shit when Asian knickknacks were still made in like
I remember
China,
that.
Thailand, and Japan.
That was a good store.
That was awesome, yeah.
It was always like half off. So they I guess most people are too stupid to know. They would just double the price and then give you half off. People, half off! Look at this, honey! I can get me one of them Japanese screens!
Oh, you always wanted one, Bart.
Get me a sword, half off, $200.
I got that Wicked Tiger, too. Yeah, that was an awesome store.
But as you pointed out, you're so happy to point out I torrented for the first time. So that was interesting.
Got in contact with friends. Yes, you did.
I did.
I'm very proud of you. I like seeing your awakening into your greater nerddom.
Yeah,
begrudgingly, it perhaps.
Still
you
needs
don't seem a happy
it
man
still
about
needs
it.
Some work. I was very confused as to the inner workings, and then I downloaded the file, and there were 10 files in it, and I ran the setup file, and it still asked me for the the serial number, and I was like, I don't know the serial number. There was no README file, so and it looked like it was the highest rated file. So I was like, do people just make up serial numbers? Or so I went to Google and typed in CS3 serial number, blah blah blah, and then put it in, and it worked for about 5 minutes, and then I guess it connected to the internet and then said the serial number is no good.
Yeah
Fuck off.
Gotta stop it from phoning home, because it'll phone home and be like, hey, are there any updates for me, by the way?
Well,
this
that's
is
the
my
thing
serial
it
number.
it said change the name of one of the comments said change the name of this file, put change it to this extension. So I went in there, changed the name of that, turned off my computer, rebooted it, tried to open, and it still said fuck off, essentially. So haven't had a whole lot of success talking to peers, but maybe with practice that's fine. But I don't want to have too much practice, because I want to get what I've got to get in the safest possible means, and not load up the new computer with a bunch of bullshit and viruses.
Right. Well, I'll take a look under your hood now that you set up a couple of stuff and see what's there, and see if I can advise you on your path, Grasshopper.
That would be great. Okay. Would you like to tell us about the Silk Road Marketplace?
Would I? What a nice dovetail into the deeper, darker workings of what is known as the Dark Net.
The Dark Net.
The Dark Net. No. Now, what you, I, and Susie Q, and my dad occasionally dabbles with is known colloquially as the Clear Net. It's okay. Above boards, above surface, very easy to trace activity and stuff like that. But imagine, if you will, you're in a country that represses its citizens and shoots people in the face that just want to speak their mind.
Yes.
Like China.
Okay.
All right. What do you do? How do you organize with people? Well, you use the dark net. Dark meaning that it's obscured. There's a certain amount of anonymity, and there's different mechanisms in place to secure your identity.
Okay.
So you don't end up being quote-unquote re-educated by the government. It starts at... Well, what I'm going to eventually talk about is the Silk Road Marketplace.
Yes.
Where you can get really interesting things.
Okay.
We're going to get there.
Yes.
A couple of steps on the way there. One is how you get there. Two is how you pay for this interesting stuff. And three is the interesting stuff.
Yes.
One is Tor.
Okay.
It is called Tor because it stands for the Onion Router. The Onion Router because it layers your searches in different levels of encryption with each computer that it piggybacks to.
Right.
And it goes through a worldwide network of volunteer servers. So you get on your computer and you go to the Tor network. You fire up a Tor browser.
Yes.
And it's based on the Firefox kernel. So all intents and purposes, it looks like a Firefox web browser.
Right.
But it's Tor. Once you're connected to it, it will say, hey, have fun. You're anonymous now. Your IP appears to be fill in the blank. Like earlier today, it looked like I was calling out of Massachusetts. Okay. And if anybody looked at my activity, they'd be like, oh, this guy's in Hinsdale, Massachusetts. So that's your first layer of obfuscation. My request jumps to a computer, has a layer of encryption put onto it, goes to another computer, another layer of encryption put onto it, another computer, another layer of encryption put upon it, and then it's finally spit out of the internet down the chain to where I am requesting the information from.
Right.
So by the time it comes out, it can be like, hey, tell me about political dissent in China. But it comes out looking like it's originating from the United States when the requestor is in China.
Right.
So it's very difficult to track where it originates from. Tor, the Onion Router, was first sponsored by the United States Naval Research Laboratory. And then funded later by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is a nonprofit group for digital rights. And they're all above board, and they support free speech and dissent and stuff like that globally. So this, the Onion Router, is actually supported and given money by the United States government. Its current supporters are the United States State Department. Yes, okay, that just confuses me because it's double words. The Broadcasting Board of Governors and National Science Foundation, among others. It has been instrumental in organizing different rallies in Egypt most recently, and to a lesser degree in Iran. So that's how you get on, and you keep your knowledge pretty secret. Now, the servers that you are going to can also cloak their identity. So, like, say there wanted to be a search engine that was not a .com. It has a .onion, O-N-I-O-N, address. But it's untraceable, and it will have, like, Google XQ3B48 onion. And it's impossible to trace that address to the server that it's originating from. I don't want to say impossible, because anything can be compromised, but it's extremely, extremely difficult. There's now an open project to expand it to make it more easy to access on mobile devices, particularly instant messaging and stuff like that, because in more underdeveloped countries, people aren't running around with MacBook Pros and Toshiba laptops. You know, they will have a mobile device if they're lucky. Let me see. The easiest thing to trace on Tor is people doing torrents, because people have to repeatedly get information from one stream in order to build a file together. They're not just sending out one shot in the night to request one piece of information. They're building one piece of information from several different sources. So,
you mean for the authorities to track? Is that what you're saying? That's
no,
torrenting is the easiest.
Is the easiest to pick out. Like, if you wanted to try to find somebody's IP address, the easiest thing to pick out is torrenting, just because of the nature of the application. And some of it is Tor's processes that they're improving upon. But it took a group of computer scientists 23 days to identify IP addresses of torrent users that were using Tor, and they identified 10,000 different IP addresses. So that's quite a number of people that they were like, hey, you guys are using this darknet thing. So there's roads to go. There's stuff to work on. But if you're like, hey...
But it's better than the alternative.
Right. It's better than using no encryption at all, certainly. Right. I mean, the encryption level I use when I'm communicating with peers is just making sure that the stuff I'm sending out is encrypted. You know, your local cable company is not going to go to the effort to run encryption servers to try to decrypt shit that's coming out from my computer for 2 hours every 4 days. They don't give a fucking shit about that. Nor do they have the finances to, like, invest in that, because decrypting is some heavy-duty stuff. It requires a lot of server activity. So that's your on-ramp. That's your window to all this is Tor. Now you can download Tor from the internet, the Tor browser. For Mac, Linux, and PC. Totally free. Any questions about Tor?
No. I have used it briefly before.
Have you now?
I have.
What'd you use it for?
I was asking... I asked Mathun, I think last year or the year before, what was a safe... Because some stuff had come out about Firefox and it being vulnerable to a couple of viruses on... you know, a major site. I forgot what it was, but like Yahoo or one of those virus scares where it was a really popular website that had given out a lot of information and blah, blah, blah. And so I asked him, hey, what's the safest, you know, way to surf the web without making yourself vulnerable? Mm-hmm. And he suggested Tor. So I downloaded it. But I did find that some of the websites that I went to using that would not function properly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've improved the programming or whatever in the last year and a half since I last used it. But if there was like a news article and it was accompanied by a video, the news article would come up, but the video wouldn't show up, or the formatting would be off, or something like that. So it was not a seamless surfing experience.
That is correct. Even I experience a certain amount of latency between requesting something and having it delivered, and I'm used to stuff moving along pretty quickly. That's because it's piggybacking upon so many computers.
Sure.
And I think also to help improve that speed is by default turning off animations and stuff like that. I think you can go into the browser and turn on that stuff if you want to.
Okay.
I haven't really popped the hood, so to speak, to look at that degree because I just wanted to look at illegal shit, which the Silk Road sells. And I'm going to get to that. Actually, let me just tell you. Right now on the Silk Road, you can buy apparel, art, books, collectibles, computer equipment, digital goods. And their biggest category is drugs with 3,002 entries.
Okay.
Now, how do you pay for that? Well, you pay for it using bitcoins.
Okay.
Have you heard of bitcoins before?
Not since you mentioned them.
Okay. You mean nobody mentioned them since I mentioned them to you?
No.
Okay. It's symbolized by the letter B with a slash through it, like a dollar sign.
Okay.
But that can be confused with a certain amount of Thai currency, so they're kind of trying to formulate that. First made its appearance in about 2007. There's no issuing authority to this monetary system. It grows at a geometric rate that is embedded within itself. So it's like a self-recreating wealth that is set to cap at a certain date in the future. So it has a market cap that's projected, and it hasn't gotten there yet. And the way to get there is to have people mine bitcoins. Now, the way to mine bitcoins is to set up a bunch of fucking servers to run complicated algorithms that will produce all these hash codes that are encrypted to create what is known as blocks. If you took your laptop and you set it up to create one block for Bitcoin currency, you would be paid 50 Bitcoins by the Bitcoin thing itself once you contribute that block of infrastructure to the peer-to-peer network. That would take you 2 years to do it, though. So it's not really worth it to you. One Bitcoin right now is currently worth about $5 USD. They have people that will get together and build these huge machines and harvest and mine bitcoins. And they end up paying themselves off because they're turbo nerds. They know what they're doing. They get the right equipment. But they use a lot of electricity doing this. And a lot of people just bow out of it because it's so hard to mine this electronic currency, which is just very amusing to me. Let me see. 8 million bitcoins have been mined so far. It has a goal to reach 21 million bitcoins. This prevents inflation because it's growing at a steady rate. Uses a peer-to-peer network to keep track of all the bitcoins. There's no master server. The database of the currency and where it's located is encrypted and is on every user's machine, like BitTorrent. So you cannot get rid of it. You can't scrub it. You can't really manipulate it. The address of a Bitcoin is like a huge hashtag, like 1N9VK, blah, 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 blah. There's no ID needed to get one. You can have a disposable one that you can use just one time. And it's created by going to eWallet. If you go to eWallet, the homepage will generate a Bitcoin wallet for you. And it encourages you to write down that address or bookmark that address because it creates it on the fly and there's no way to predict what a future or past one could have been. And you can give somebody a key to that bookmarked address and they can deposit funds in there anonymously. And then you can withdraw those funds from there anonymously. If you lose that bookmark, fucking too bad. You lost your money. You can never get it back. It's just gone. Nobody oversees it like that. Or should they? That's the whole point of it. They're associated with public keys that are on everybody's computer. So each coin, if I had one Bitcoin, it would have my public key assigned to it. If I sign it over to you, I say, hey, put it in, not Jonathan's account, but put it in account X12K4, blah, blah, blah. It would remove my key and stamp your key on that Bitcoin and then update every other computer on the network saying,
this
is the person
see
that owns
is what's- stopping some fucking asshole from just creating a million bitcoins out of fucking thin air for himself.
because they're all owned currently by somebody. You can't put your key onto them. The only way to put a key onto it is by giving it to somebody else. And then that
right, but where did the first ones come from?
The Genesis block that the creator made. The creator. The creator, Satoshi Nakamoto, which is most likely a pseudonym. He created the first block that started creating bitcoins. And I guess they had his keys on them, and then he started distributing them. And as he distributed them, they would get new keys. And then as new blocks were mined and keys and new bitcoins would free up 50 at a time, they would have the miners' keys on them that got them. And then the miners would buy stuff, and then it would get new keys. You can't just get a bitcoin because it's not a physical thing. You know, you can't track it anywhere. It's spread a million places. Like, let's say you could compromise one record of it, but then you have to convince every other bitcoin in existence that that's legitimate. And that's not easy to do. That hasn't happened.
Okay, so let's get to the meat of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
How do I trade my money for bitcoins to buy stuff?
Good question. You can do it on the ClearNet. You can go to MTGOX, Mt. Gox. It's an exchange. You can just put in a bank account, PayPal, something like that. Boom, put in some cash. Boom, get out some bitcoins. Store it in an e-wallet somewhere or store it at Mt. Gox. There's a small transaction fee for that. It's not much at all, probably about like 0.5%. But that's not really anonymous because you're going to it directly. If you want to do it totally anonymously, there are things called scrubbers and washers and mixers that mix up where you request it from and where you get it to where you can obfuscate your identity, to where it's impossible to trace. There is no path. Brings me to the Silk Road. People might want to do that level of anonymity if you want to buy, let's say, 8 grams of fish scale cocaine, which you can buy on the Silk Road under drugs. Now, we're not the first to break this by any means. The Silk Road's been around since February 2011. And it was first kind of hit the mainstream in Gawker on June 1st, 2011. And it led the U.S. senators to petition Attorney General Eric Holder and DEA administrators to shut down the marketplace. But like anything that's distributed, there's no centralized place, so you can't shut it down. That just ended up in getting a bunch more people to go to the Silk Road and causing a surge in Bitcoin currency. It looks pretty rinky-dink. I mean, it's pretty bare bones, the website. Got a little green dude riding a camel.
And okay, so that's the Bitcoin price?
Correct. So just multiply that figure in your head by $5, and that's how much it is. So 1 gram of Super Palm 00 Moroccan hash is a little over $20. And there's a picture. Let's see what that looks like. And it's been kind of equated to the Amazon for drugs and illegal shit.
Right.
Where the sellers have ratings. You can only get a seller account by buying one. So that decreases the chance that somebody's just going to open one and rip people off. There's some sweet Moroccan hash right there. Looks pretty yummy. Smoke rate, topic, worldwide shipping rates.
Okay, let me search something.
Okay.
And don't announce what it is I'm searching.
Okay.
But
in this, the sellers are rated, so there's a pretty good honor system there. Anybody that gets involved in this is going to be rather tech savvy, so they're going to have a certain level of intelligence going into it, so it kind of cuts out a bunch of bullshit right there, but people are always wanting to rip other people off. That's just human nature.
Sure.
So the Silk Road has a very effective escrow service set in place that will protect the buyer and both the seller. You can go into these subcategories here and look for something. What I found interesting is that they have like art and books and stuff like that, but they also have digital equipment too. They have like USB security keys and sporting tickets and... I guess you can buy stuff for like fake IDs on here too. And the Silk Road is kind of put into place to not do any harm. You know, they're selling drugs, sure, but ostensibly to consenting adults who can take care of themselves, and if they can't, then maybe they should fucking be dead anyway. I mean, that's the whole idea of freedom, right? There's no weapons on here. There's, you know, nothing. There's no kiddie porn or any bullshit like that. It's just people going somewhere to get things they want or that they may need. There is a sister site to this that I connected to the other day where you can buy, like, handguns that have no serials on them and things like that. That's kind of more shady. But, you know, I guess if you think you're going to shoot somebody that's coming in your house and you don't want to have it around for the cops, that would be the place to go. There's different levels of protection you can go through in this, and also a very good community of people. I came to a forum today from the Silk Road where it's like step by step how to do this to be totally safe, from like getting your bitcoins converted from cash to having it delivered to your house to what to do when it gets to your house, all this stuff. And people ask questions like, oh, should it go to a P.O. box? And like, no, because a P.O. box, you got to lay down two forms of ID. If you just have it code to your home address, you can claim plausible deniability if you've, you know, covered your tracks. You can be like, anybody can send anything to my house. Why would I order a fucking gram of cocaine to my house? Are you fucking kidding me? And then they don't really have anything on you, and, well, you know, they just gotta let you go. Plus, that's really unlikely to happen because the law enforcement doesn't have the resources to fucking monitor every package that moves through the United States Postal Service.
So are you, have you made your first purchase?
I have.
Really?
Yes, yes, yes. No, I haven't.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't. I want to get my head around this thing, man. I just kind of got down the whole, like, how do you get the money without leaving a trail thing this afternoon.
Okay.
Now, you could do it and probably be okay, you know?
Right.
But the inner paranoid in me wants to make sure that there is nothing that can link me to it.
Sure.
Even if somebody had this podcast, you know, I'm totally not planning to buy anything illegal. I want some of the books on here.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Well, I was looking at some of the art that they had.
It's unique.
Some good pictures.
A lot of it's homemade.
Probably invest in some of those.
But I plan to. I'm going to go to the forums, read some more about that. The you'll like this. Our audience will like this. The owner of the Silk Road goes by the handle The Dread Pirate Roberts.
Nice.
Yeah, which is just, that's classy. I like that. A good community on it. People that suck seem to be kind of pointed out early on and kicked out. So that's good. And you just buy from people that have good ratings, you know. If you have three pages of, you know, 100 out of 100 ratings, and sellers have ratings right there, you see what company, what countries they ship from. You know, I probably wouldn't be shipping anything from undeclared or from Germany or Pakistan. But stuff from the United States, I might be all right with trying around. And as long as you're not stupid and greedy, you should be okay. Because like I said, law enforcement doesn't have the resources to fucking watch all this stuff. And I would hope not. I hope they got more important things to worry about than somebody buying fucking half quarter of Kind Bud. It's interesting because it's lower than street value on a lot of this stuff. You don't have to meet in some shady alley with somebody you don't know and pretend you like to be there just because you want the shit they got.
Right.
Which is like always been the downside of drugs. And it's interesting because it's things like this that might actually assist in changing legislation that everybody talks about down the road. I mean, we'll probably fucking be dead and in the ground before this goddamn country comes around to like, hey, well, let's just let it out there. These people are adults. Let's see what happens.
Sure.
You know, Amsterdam's still standing last I checked. But like this, I mean, if it's easy, relatively secure, good product, then government's got to be like, okay, well, people are going to continue to always get this shit as they have throughout the creation of time. So why don't we just tax the fuck out of it and make some money and not spend so much money fighting it?
Right.
I don't even want to get in that argument.
Well, I'm interested to hear how your future experiences go.
Yeah. Are you going to get anything?
Well, I mean, if I was tech savvy enough to be able to go jump through all the hoops, I would. Mm-hmm. But I might just...
They have a very helpful forum.
I might just give you the money
for the
art.
No, we got to go to this together, man. We have to have our own individual experiences. I'm married. I have a kid. You're a bachelor. Come on. If I can take the risk, if I have the balls.
Hey, we're just ordering books and art, man.
Yeah, and homemade goods. Yes.
There you go.
Anyway, I thought people would like that. If you want to find out more about the Silk Road Marketplace, go to Wikipedia. Type Silk Road Marketplace. You can also find the Gawker article. Very nice. Very, very in-depth. It's interesting. You know, we'll see where stuff like this goes. There was something similar that got totally shut down called the Farmers Market, where there were only eight arrests in the United States, Netherlands, and Colombia. So my guess is they, you know, just went after the people that were organizing it. They don't care about all the fucking... I mean, it's like any cop show you've watched. They don't care about the shitty guy in the street that's using. They care about the dealers, really.
Right.
And they were compromised because they were using Western Union cash and PayPal and leaving trails all over the place. This, with the amount of anonymity built in, is going to be interesting to see if they can do anything to disrupt this. And it's decentralized. I mean, it's distributed like peer-to-peer. There's no one place that this exists. So it's interesting things. And, you know, I'm glad I learned about it. I did not know about it. I'm sure Methuen's known about it for some time. And I don't know if any of our users out there have any more insights on it. Or any firsthand experiences. Perhaps you got some nice shoes from there. I'd like to hear how that transaction went.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll take our break and be back on the flip side with some nerd news. All right.
Welcome back to this, our second act. So all that aside with the Silk Road Anonymous Marketplace. Now, I don't want to make any children out there run out and do terrible illegal things, but I do believe adults should be able to do whatever the fuck they want to themselves as long as they do not harm others.
Right, and we are not endorsing the website.
They are not a sponsor.
We are providing, simply talking amongst ourselves regarding the existence of said site. By no means are we encouraging people to visit said site and patronize it.
No, I encourage people to visit it, actually. I want them to see for themselves what technology has made possible. You know, because freedom of information, it should exist. People should be aware if they are so interested.
That's what I'm saying. We're providing the information. We are not endorsing it.
That's right. And if you want to ship some fish scale cocaine to 525 Porter Street, Ocean Springs, Mississippi, 39564, I don't know who sent it, officer. I swear to God.
There you go.
So what do you got in the play, my friend?
I wanted to talk some Game of Thrones because this last episode blew my freaking mind. It was really ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Was watching, following the storylines. Yeah, okay, Theon Greyjoy is out.
He's such a fucking asswipe, dude.
Yeah.
I kind of liked him, too. He's
got severe daddy issues, but anyway... you're left with the image of two burnt child corpses hanging in the breeze. Didn't really like that look for Winterfell. I thought it looked better without the hanging
child corpses. It made it more dreary. It did. It did.
I find hanging child corpses don't do a lot for... And I'm a real estate professional, so I can... say with a certain degree of professional experience that I would not recommend burnt child corpses hanging in your garden.
Yeah, as a real estate professional.
Yes.
Now, if you have to hang child corpses because tis the season.
Sure.
Is it better if they are burnt or if they're just, you know, bleeding?
I would say either way, you wouldn't want to hang them. Mm-hmm. You would want to bury them because at the very least... it would prevent an eyesore, and B, it would also probably provide some degree of fertilization. Would probably act as a nitrous-rich fertilizer for whatever you may be growing and selling on the Silk Road Marketplace.
I think if you're going to use it to, you know, start a tomato bed or something like that, you'd probably be best off if you had two children bodies to burn one and just leave the other one, because then you'll have some rich carbon from the burnt one, and then you'll just have like the natural decomposition.
But scarecrows are so cheap nowadays, it really, you'd really be better suited allocating your child corpse resources in another direction.
I don't know where you've been buying child corpses from, but I found some pretty cheap.
No, I'm saying, assuming you have one in stock,
right?
Assuming you have one on hand, you could easily, for much cheaper, make a scarecrow out of, say, a broom and an old shirt that would function to keep the crows at bay, and you could allocate your corpse for something else, and you could go another direction with it, so to speak.
Now, did you notice this in the shot of the child corpses, is that they both had a hand missing?
I did notice that.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I don't know why that could possibly be important, unless they were going to forward it on.
Yeah, I think episode 8 will probably reveal the missing arm questions. Are you glad I gave you the missing arm visual?
Because
you would never know what a missing arm would look like.
Right. Well, I thought you were talking about firearms, like there's a missing gun or something.
No. But anyway, so yes, very looking forward very much to episode 8. There's only been maybe one or two episodes this season where I've been like clawing my eyes out waiting for the next episode to take place.
Now, the nerd that sits next to me at work, who has read the book, and I'm always like, dude, don't tell me anything. And he's good about that. But we'll like hash over the episodes and stuff. And it's beneficial because he'll remind me of stuff that's happened. And I was like, yeah, well, how long is Greyjoy just going to hang out there after doing this terrible, horrible thing? And he was like, I don't know.
Spoilers.
Okay. It's not a spoiler. It's a reminder.
Yeah, well.
Of something that happened. Already.
Okay, well.
Okay, you remember when Rob found out about the usurpation of Winterfell?
Yes.
He was like, oh, I'm going to go. And all his lead people were like, no, you can't go back.
Right.
You can't leave the front line. And then one of his bannermen said, oh, my people are blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And my son would love to go and avenge, you know, House Stark.
Yes.
And he kind of was like, oh, okay. I kind of forgotten about that. So I was like, oh, okay. So... All right, good. That's
no,
good
I mean, I was aware that help is on the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, well, it was too little too late for at least two people.
Yeah.
The question is...
That guy got his head fucking whacked off.
That's true. That was also another...
That was fucking terrible.
Yeah, that's the great thing about the show is, like, not only did they... produce that narrative of him killing that guy. Mm-hmm. It was they put the next level of narrative in that he couldn't get it done in one blow, which was made such a big deal in season one, to where if you can't do it in one blow, you're a fucking pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't be doing it, and you get no respect from anybody. Because if it takes you five times to hack a dude's head off, you're not a real man, and you shouldn't be hacking another dude's head off.
Word.
So, and all his men were watching him do that. So it was like, you know, you have that secondary narrative of even more reason his men have lost respect for him.
Yeah, so, he's trying to prove himself, but in the worst ways possible.
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be some mutiny amongst his men if he lives long enough.
Oh, I thought his men were with him, because they're like, hey, you showed up here and... you know, fucked everything up big time as far as, like, making these people suffer. I think his dudes are pretty cool with him right now. They may think, like, oh, he's a little whelp, but he's willing to pay the iron price, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what
happens. Anyway, hope you nerds are getting up on that, because that's just some yummy, terrible good stuff.
Yes. Some news for our Mississippi listeners or thereabouts. There is a serial killer on the loose in Mississippi.
About time.
So be weary. He apparently is pretending to be a cop.
Oh, classic.
And pulling people over, I guess via dashboard blue lights. And they're pulling over for him, and he's killing them, and the cops are finding them on the side of the road. So the cops are suggesting that in Mississippi, until this guy is caught, and it's probably always a good idea, but if you're getting pulled over, turn on your emergency hazards and turn on your interior lights so the cop knows that you see him.
Mm-hmm.
And then call 911 if you have a cell phone, and they should be able to verify that it's a real cop pulling you over at that specific location. And if you don't have a cell phone, drive to the nearest well-lit area once you have your hazard lights and your interior lights on. Drive to the nearest well-lit gas station, retail store, et cetera, and then pull over.
Yeah, all the cops I've experienced with would be really cool with you driving a quarter mile before pulling over.
Yeah, but between getting hit in the head several times with a nightstick or pepper sprayed or getting shot in the face by a crazed serial killer, I would probably take the pepper spray.
So if I just speed off, if a cop throws his lights on, I'm covered, and I can just be like, oh, the news has got me paranoid.
No, that's why they're suggesting, hey, turn on your hazard lights, turn on your interior lights.
I didn't hear that, though.
Pull over in a well-lit location.
All I heard was cop okay, murdering
well,
people.
You will hear a taser upside your forehead.
That's okay.
Thereafter.
Give me plenty of time to drive.
I'm selective here.
Enjoy all my Silk Road merchandise.
But anyway, southeastern U.S. listeners.
So how many have
be weary.
This dude?
Two confirmed deaths so far, but they've been within a week of each other and the same M.O., so they're tying it to the same perpetrator.
To what localities, like in Mississippi?
Mostly in northern Mississippi.
Wow, that's scary. Yeah. What if the dude's got some kind of 911 interceptor phone on him? So he'd be like,
yep, that officer's supposed to be pulling you over.
I don't know.
Take your keys.
If you hear that voice from the 911 operator, I would go ahead and wait until you got to the nearest location.
This is 911. What's
well
the nature
location.
Of your emergency?
So what else you bringing? You got any nerd news or anything?
You mean aside from my half-hour tirade on...
I don't.
A black net.
I don't.
Reading Gunslinger, Dark Tower, book 3, about 3/4 of the way through. Bought the missus a Stephen King book, a new Stephen King book for Mother's Day. Big Stephen King fan, hasn't been able to get into it for a little while because she just hasn't had any new books
right.
for it. This one, it's a date. I'm going to try to find the name of it because it's like 11-something-62. And it's about roughly the Kennedy assassination. Okay, it's 11-22-63. It's the title of the book. And the premise is set up fairly early that there's a portal to the past in a diner.
Okay.
And this old dude is talking to a younger dude. Old dude owns the diner. Younger dude is a patron there, saying like, hey, I got to show you something. It's a little hole you go into it. You go in the past. And, of course, you know how that goes.
Right.
Eventually, the guy does do it, though, and finds out that the old man is telling the truth. It's really a portal to the past, but it's a portal to, like, 1957. And the old man wants to stay there long enough to save Kennedy, but you have to stay there, like, 6 or 7 years. Time passes slowly over there, so for every minute you're gone here, like, 2 months pass over there. And it's just, I guess, playing with the what-ifs of if you could alter history, would you? And how would you do that? And how would you do that and still protect the sanctity of the time stream continuum? It's a big fucking thick book. Sounds interesting. I might even put down my Dark Tower series and tear into it. It's gotten really good reviews. And when I was there at the bookstore, I saw another fucking Dark Tower book that this goddamn guy crapped out. You just can't stop him. So that's like book 8. And he's really prolific.
Wow.
God bless him.
Yeah, and apparently he's good.
I hear.
A lot of prolific authors and or artists are not that good with in their...
No, and they still...
Efficiency.
...create stuff. See the Twilight heiress. So I can't help but notice this big fucking drum set in the middle of your goddamn living space.
Yes, I have completed... my drum set. I bought the what they call the shell pack, which is the actual drums themselves, mm-hmm. not the hardware, not the cymbals. I bought the shell pack last year, got a super deal on it through some friends that work in the music retail field. Super deal on the drum set, but since money has been tight over the last year or so, was unable to buy the hardware and the cymbals to mm-hmm. actually be able to play them. So the drums themselves have been sitting in my spare room. Well, been killing myself at work recently and just said, you know what, I'm gonna try and piece together some used hardware or some used cymbals and see what I can come up with. So cymbals I got used as a set. Most of the hardware I either bought new at bargain basement prices, waiting for it to go on sale, mm-hmm. waiting for free shipping to be offered, because hardware is big and bulky and heavy, etc., etc. So in waiting 6 to 8 months sometimes for the right stars to align, the right financial...
It's been like you piecemealing a card back together.
Exactly. I've been able to do it on a very low budget, and I'm pretty happy with how I was able to acquire. One thing I traded for the drum throne, I'm trading some life vests that I acquired in my garage sale and flea market mm-hmm. realm. Trading some life vests for a drum throne. So trying to keep it all on minimal investment and maximum enjoyment.
So what are your plans now? Going to sell it all?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to play it and... take some frustrations out on the skins.
Excellent. Would you mind playing us out?
I will not be playing.
Oh, come on.
Out.
Just a little brrrr.
Maybe next week.
I'm going to get that from you.
Maybe next week.
God damn you.
Maybe next week. But anywho, that's going to do it for episode 53 of the Nerd Aristocracy Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. For Ryan Reinecke, mm-hmm. as always, I am Jonathan Bell, and we will catch you on the flip side.
Never change.
Later!
Damn, it feels good to be a Lannister. Damn, it feels good to be a Lannister. A real high-class lord wears a lion crest. A real high-class lord making love to his twinks. Real high-class lords choose incest. And nobles sometimes try and kill kids. All because the little boy was peeping. But real high-class lords spawn princes. Cause real high-class lords queen freaking. And everything's cool in Casterly Rock, where high-class nobles been born. I always pay my debts and I love my little brother, cause some high-class nobles be deformed. And all I gotta say to you, outwardly, cowardly, usurper, loving daughter, birthing challengers. When your gold runs out, what the fuck you gonna do? Damn, it feels good to be a Lannister.
Damn, it feels good to be a Lannister. Sipping wine, reading books, and betting lures. I'm the imp that leaves them limping when I finish them. With tricky tricks, I get my pick of cell swords. Damn, it feels good to be a Lannister. Pissing off the wall down into the snow. Riding round seven kingdoms while escaping like a boss. But for me, that's my quid pro quo. Now high-class lords come in all shapes and sizes. Some got killed in the past. But this noble here is a smart one. Top it off, gone, refill my glass. And all I gotta say to you, outwardly, cowardly, usurper-loving, daughter-birthing challengers, when your gold runs out, what the fuck you gonna do? Damn, it feels good to be a Lannister.